Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, the scripture that I picked reminded me of something really funny, speaking of weddings, that happened at my wedding. Lee's friend Amy Peterson was who we picked to read the scripture, and we were going to have her read the Shema, you know, Deuteronomy chapter 6. We weren't just going to do 1 Corinthians 13, although that's still my favorite to share at weddings. But Amy got up to read. I was so nervous because Lee made me sing to her in the wedding, which was wonderful. I picked the easiest song I could think of, Stephen Curtis Chapman, I Will Be Here, because that's all I could, like, handle. But Amy gets up to read in the pulpit. It was a traditional church in Denver, Colorado. And here's what she starts reading. We're standing there so nervous, listening to her say these words from Deuteronomy. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, the Hittites, Girgazites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, seven nations larger and stronger than you. We're like, the Jebusites at our wedding? Yeah, it was such a holy moment. And she kept reading. Yeah, although her face, I wish you could have seen her facial expression. Because she went into verse 2. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you've defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them. It's good wedding material, isn't it? Show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, and the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. I think she stopped there. And she was like a Christian and knew her Bible. But it makes me ask the question, how many of us are one chapter away from where we need to be? Like, I hadn't even thought about that, Amy reading that. And anyway. Well, here's what we were wanting as we began the creation of our home. Deuteronomy 6. Amy, if you're watching online. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is the true view word about the Lord God alone and loving God with our heart, soul, and strength, and about family. At a time when God's people were escaping the oppression of Egypt, was the country then, for a new land, as immigrants, as migrants, God's people. You know, this morning, I believe God is going to do something great here. If we could have a true view of how God sees us and our situation, things would change. We have no idea because we don't have a true view of ourselves, our lives, Scripture, or others, let alone God. But the truth that Christianity sees is this: there is always something you cannot see controlling what you can. I believe that extends to current events and how we respond today. What an insane week it's been. And we're up here in Michigan. Think of the southern border. and think of the people below the southern border. I spent this week reading about immigration and the current crisis on the border, and I feel like I understand less than I did when I started. The amount of people crossing the border with children, the amount of children crossing the border without adult parents, and then the zero-tolerance policy that separated the children from their parents has led to a good outcry and a lot of bad spew and media. Now, with the president's executive order on Wednesday to reunite the families and the Department of Homeland Security now awaiting guidance on how to do all this, we find ourselves. Jamie Dean of World Mag explains it this way. Going back to 1997, the Flores settlement requires the U.S. government to place unaccompanied immigrant children with a close relative or a family friend or a suitable backup. There's just not enough of those, though. Now, move ahead from 1997 to a federal judge in 2015 who ruled the Flores settlement applied to minors crossing the border with their parents. And now 2,000 children wait to be reunited with their parents in these next few weeks. But the Pentagon received a request for 20,000 beds. 20,000 beds from the Department of Homeland Security, which points to the current 11,000 unaccompanied minors that we don't hear about. But 11,000 unaccompanied minors are here in the United States in temporary shelters and foster homes. Now, that's many times the numbers that have been brought and with visuals to us. Many times the number of children separated from their parents in recent weeks. Most media isn't even covering that part. So now there are, get this, 714,067 pending immigration cases. 714,067 pending immigration cases for our immigration court system. All of that for about 350 judges who deal with immigration. Wow. We have a system that people are working on desperately and diligently that simply may not be able to handle the current conditions. What do we do? There's been lots of heat. There's been lots of airtime. There's been lots of anxiety and not a lot of solutions or action among those loudest on the issue. Who can do something about this? You know, some Christian agencies, including in Michigan, are fostering some of these kids that have been separated from their parents. I'd want to know this question, and it was challenging for me to think about this. How many of immigrant children could be supported by this church, by our congregation? I would hope hundreds. I would hope we would rise up to that, you guys. So I started reading not just what the media specialists who specialize in the media and getting your attention, but rather in people dealing with the issue on the front lines were saying. Samuel Rodriguez of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference was pleased with the president's action to halt family separations now. And he said this, separating families is morally reprehensible and it's anti-Christian. But there are so many more questions than answers. How do we get here? Three things as I was reading through all this literature this week. Unrest in Central America. Poverty. And the separating of families. As far as unrest in Central America, gang killings, corruption, trafficking, and especially in El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, they lump those three together. What an incredible blessing that Omega Church, that is our partner church in Belize, 5 miles from the border of Guatemala, is ministering to people in Guatemala, let alone to the great needs that are in Belize as well. The gang killings, corruption, and trafficking have made some of the areas of some of these countries, and I was talking to Lesti, who's living with us right now, who has her surgery a week from tomorrow, about areas in Honduras where it's really bad. Gabe Salguero said this, until we address the issues of violence and poverty, on that side of the border, let alone on this. This is going to be cyclical. These waves of people needing to get away. Gabe Salguero is the president supporting the NALEC president, who's supporting humanitarian care for the immigrants here in the U.S. and efforts of the Latin Evangelical Association of Honduras to strengthen the church's response back at home. He said this: we need Christians to pray against violence and oppression. I love that he starts with that. The power of prayer. If money could fix it, it would be fixed. He says, we need Christians to pray against violence and oppression that are sending scores of immigrants out of Central America. He said this: a thriving church will bring healing to these societies from the inside out. That's how God works. That's why we are trying to partner. So we must pray for the church. He says, there is a hunger for Christ that is palpable, and many people are coming to faith, both in Latin America as well as in the U.S. Do you realize that the Christian church, Christianity, is not shrinking in the United States of America? But the reason it's not shrinking is because all the immigrant churches that have started in our country, they don't get noticed by a lot of people. Unrest in Central America. Next, it's poverty. Reverend Chris Brooks, who's the senior pastor of Evangel Ministries in Detroit, who was a speaker for the Work as Worship conference, that video conference that we hosted here, puts it this way: if you think it's just lack of resources, poverty that is, you just throw money at poverty. That's led to multiple generations of government assistance. What Reverend Chris Brooks, an African-American pastor in Detroit, says is this: it's not just a lack of resources, but it's a lack of relationships. Most people in poverty have no one for support, and he doesn't just mean to give them money, but he means no one to help make a connection for a job, no one to say, how is it going for you? How are you spending your money? Can we do better? When we connect them, he says, they begin to flourish. A new program that Tom and I and our lay delegates heard at annual conference in some churches is called Circles. Dan Tuch's daughter is involved in the one in Ipsy. I just learned this morning. Circles is designed to help surround those in poverty with weekly meetings that include dinner and relationships and some support. Reverend Brooks says this: I believe whatever child God places in our church's family will flourish. And I want to say that's a true view of this church as well. Whatever child God places in our church's family will flourish if you plug in, and for those who stay. That's poverty, a major issue to what we've been seeing on the surface in the news. And then thirdly, separating families. Thoughts on unity of families. God has established the family as the fundamental building block of society. And my prayer is for folks that don't have family here. I'll be your brother or your cousin or your uncle. Let this church be your family. A letter from the Evangelical Immigration Table wrote to President Trump several months ago, this beautiful letter was urging illegal entry to the U.S. can be a misdemeanor criminal violation, but the administration can take into account the well-being of children who may also be involved, and to exercise discretion to protect the unity of families. Jenny Yang, the VP of Advocacy and Policy at World Relief, says it this way: the thing we know about families in the U.S., any family, is that families create social capital. They create social networks. They create social stability. One said this: the church needs to open its doors. You know, we saw this, the 10 of us who went to Kenya about 6 years ago, under the leadership of our dear friend Ann Gotobu, who's a United Methodist pastor. We saw how the AIDS orphans there are taken care of by the church of Mulathankari. It means leopard killers in Khmer language. But these AIDS orphans are taken care of by the church there. And the grandmas and the grandpas opened their houses because the generations of parents had been wiped out by AIDS. The church needs to open its doors. So what can we do? What can we do, church? I mean, we're like, well, I live in Dexter, or Pinckney, or Hamburg. I live in Chelsea. I live in Ann Arbor. We have folks from all over. What we can do is we can advocate. We can advocate for immigration that does its best to honor people, to realize that every human being is created in the image of God, even the illegal entrants. We can fight against family separation whenever possible. We can reach out and encourage people to commit themselves to caring for immigrants, to not judge others whose English may not be perfect. We can recommit ourselves to family unity, and I don't just mean along the borders of our country, but I'm talking right here. And we can work to partner with systems in place through government agency and church missions. One way to look at it, because it's pretty overwhelming when you see it, is this. I heard someone say a few years ago, do for the one what you wish you could do for the many. Can you even aim at one person? You know, when you see the problem, you're like, that's a huge problem. What can I do? But when you realize, C.S. Lewis has this great illustration. In a room, if two people have a toothache, they're not experiencing two times toothache. They're each individual experiencing one toothache. Rather than walking into a room, but because of the monolithic way that we think about people groups, we think of these huge problems when every problem is just plaguing one person or one family. It's like the starfish illustration. You can't save everybody. Yeah, but I can save this one. As the little boy tosses the starfish into the sea. Do for the one what you wish you could do for the many. We can reach out to families in need of unity here. We can offer words of life. We can offer Christ. We have something the world needs. We can offer a different narrative. Think about it. A kid in school, that may be the only narrative they get. They may, if God is never mentioned in their life, now God has ways of reaching people, even when they're in situations that are far from Him. But we, church, can offer a different narrative. Do your kids know that there's more? Do your kids know that they are made in God's image? They are made in God's image. Can we just say that much? But you know what? That's only half the story. Because our world is fallen and broken. What do people do if they don't understand sin? What a relief to get a name for what it is that I've dealt with. Or that was holding me down. That was in me. Our world is fallen and broken, and we are too because of this sin. That explains so much. And yet God, in His great love for each of us, wherever we've been, opened up healing and salvation through Jesus Christ on the cross. Forgiveness is available for the spouse that you've been holding against. Forgiveness is available for the adult kid that has driven you crazy. Forgiveness is available for your employer. God, in His great love, opened up healing and salvation through Christ on the cross. By faith, we can own this too. Do these kids know? Do people know? Does our community know that God created the church to be Christ's body on earth for now? That we truly have nothing to fear, not even death, because of Jesus Christ. We have a part to play in God's reaching and healing of the nations. Do for the one what you wish you could do for the many. I now, because of having an opportunity to get to know people in Central America, have all kinds of connections thanks to Facebook. I have half a dozen women who work in the social services agency of Huihuitenango, Guatemala, are my friends. And they are so grateful for what this church has done for Felix. And they just sent me a new picture of him. And because of Facebook, they were able to realize his glasses weren't just for surgical recovery, but for permanent wearing. Do for the one what you wish you could do for the many. Here's a way to think about it. We could reestablish our faith at home. Faith at home is what we are trying to do to equip us as parents. Every one of us is the primary Christian educator of the kids in our lives. And faith at home is where it takes place, not just 1 hour a week on Sunday kind of stuff. You know, for so many of us, our number one asset, our primary resource that we have yet to give over to God is our home, our house. I realize I'm going from preaching to meddling here. Before we advocate for everybody else to do stuff and fix stuff, we need to name it. We can open up our home for others. Opportunities to invite people over. We invited somebody over and ended up going to the Northrops for dessert, all in this convoluted, connected way last night. At the last minute, it works better than anything. How about opportunities for foster care? You know, our own Tracy Kapuscinski works in this area. How else are we going to tackle poverty? There's healing the children. We are so blessed to have Karen with us from Guatemala. And, you know, it opens up so many doors. I have dozens of friends in Honduras and Guatemala and Belize now, thanks to Paula and Omega. How else can we connect with those places? Here was something really cool. The first Saturday that Lesti was with us, she was with us 8 years ago for open heart surgery, and she has to have another open heart surgery a week from tomorrow. But she has to get two teeth pulled tomorrow. Pray for that. The first time she had teeth pulled, her grandma did it. Just saying. I'm like, it won't hurt that much. Watch out for abuela. But the first Saturday night, we were saying goodbye to the Cassons and brought Karen to meet Lesti over at our house. And this car pulls up and this Central American couple gets out and says, is this the home of Lesti? And we're like, yeah, it was her great aunt and great uncle. Do you see when you just can take a step? He's a carpenter in Columbus, Ohio. And we invited him to spend the night, and they were here in church. And I love that so many people surrounded them. But that's what can happen if we could establish our faith at home. We support this congregation, something that we can do. As we build for our community, as we minister with people in the love of Jesus, the door to this church is really like 10,000 doors of opportunities to serve and to grow and to connect, like Mark was talking about on the video. We can give toward the global church, to those hurting in dangerous places, through this church, all the while reaching our families here. We can support the ministry and programs of our children and family ministries. We have children and family ministries to offer this community. They are designed to equip you to bring your family together, or grandkids, or nieces, or nephews, to equip you with a different narrative to share with your kids. Our youth ministry is aiming to equip you and your children, not to just protest and post about things, but to do something about it. I love that none of them are here to talk about it, because they're on their way to Memphis. Our children and family ministry, our home groups offer community. Those 67 high schoolers and counselors are almost there. They'll be working in the Orange Mountain neighborhood, which is a historically significant, impoverished African-American area in Memphis, Tennessee, to help these elderly people fix up their homes. We are praying also for several dozen of our middle schoolers, because they can do stuff too. They are going to be going to Galt Village neighborhood on the southeast side of Ipsy, where we have worked a lot of Habitat for Humanity houses and are still looking for people who want to help in that way. They're going to be leading Vacation Bible School with Little St. Matthew's Methodist Church there, who have asked us to adopt them. So, we can do for the one what we do for the many. We can reestablish our faith at home. Thirdly, bigger than all that is what you do. It doesn't matter how excited I get or what I post. What matters is what you do. Are you praying for it? Are you looking for ways that you can help? Are you opening your home? What are you going to do to be a part of this family? What are you going to do to care for your family, where they are, and care for the families who are out of place, alien, immigrant, with few relationships to help them? And while we sort out what, and sadly, who we're allowing in our borders, many of us have completely given up any idea of borders in our own homes, with our own kids, let alone ourselves. What sort of trafficking are you turning a blind eye to that is coming into your home on a screen somewhere? Or activities that are not bringing your family together? Everybody's so upset about kids being pulled away from their parents. There's a lot of stuff that does that, you guys, and it's not just on the north border of Mexico. What sort of importation are you enabling into your own home via the screen time in the walls of your home? And I say, bring on instead anyone who's going to pour into my kids' lives and offer them another glimpse of what a Christ follower can be. Anyone who will look out for them. I love that some of our neighbors are plugged in here. I love that there are people, if they were to skip school, who would see them right off the bat. And I want that for every youth here. You know, Reverend Joanne Lyons, the general superintendent of the Wesleyan Church, who worked with the United Nations, who signed that document to President Trump, said this: if the UN could solve the problems of the world with money and power, it had been solved. But there is a spiritual problem underlying all this in the world today. And God has called us to the world today. And we have the Holy Spirit in us. It's not just some memory we're trying to recreate. So let us commit, let us repent, and let us see the Holy Spirit revive us to see where God takes us. And my question is, what do you need today? God is saying, just encourage my people. So many people are facing heavy stuff. And so I want to take just a moment to pray. Would you bow your heads with me? Almighty God, we pray for this situation, and we pray for the root causes. We pray for the people of Central America, and we pray for the workers. And in the midst of that, Lord, I just need you today. I just need you. God, I've let so many things into the borders of my home that have separated my family, harmed the weak ones, and even separated me from you, Lord. Just as we are so anxious about those children finding their parents, you feel the same way about us finding you. Lord God, I know now that you call me to be family right here, that you've empowered our whole human race to be advocates and agents of change for you. So God, I confess that I've created a huge divide in my life between the secular and the sacred. Forgive me and remove me from that, Lord. I want to be fully yours. I realize I have not seen this church as an extension of my family, but something else to meet my needs. Something else that you, Lord, never called it to be. So Lord God, help me and let me help and let me receive from this family and let me give to this family and to the mission here. Knowing that what victories we achieve are all from you, and yet we offer a God-given gift, not only to this, but you say, Lord, when we turn to you, it will be to the fourth and fifth generations. So, Lord, I confess and I will be encouraged. In your power, I will be strong and courageous. I will not be terrified. Lord, where anxiety's taken over my heart, I confess it to you, and I'm going to give it to you. And I pray all of this under the narrative of Jesus Christ. Amen.